Calling this teaching, the nature of faith always triumphs. The nature of faith always triumphs. And rightly so, because we know that faith is a gift. It is given to us for our salvation to believe. Our faith embraces God. It pleases Him. Our faith enables God to move on our behalf, to bless, to preserve and keep, and to heal and deliver us, because without it we have no walk with God. So we need to bear that in mind in title of what we're talking about here, this message. Faith will, the nature of faith always triumphs, and that is its nature. It always triumphs. God will move heaven and earth where He sees a saint who is believing. Why does faith triumph? Because God is complete in Himself. He doesn't have to believe. He doesn't have to have faith. He is all those things. He doesn't try to believe. He is our belief. He is our faith. He is our knowledge and understanding of Him. Everything that we receive is because of Him. And unlike us, He doesn't try to have to work at it or believe at it or read the Word to get faith. All these things, all of that sadly has come as a result that we've fallen. He is none of those things. He is what He is, complete in Himself. Therefore, because He's given that gift of faith, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, it will triumph. His word always triumphs. His will, His purposes always triumph. There is no defeat with God. And of course, the enemy tries to tell us the opposite, because he tries to keep us in the flesh, trapped in our minds, listening to his doubts, his lies, his deception, and so on. And of course, this is why we're under a great deliverance through the word that is delivering us, changing us, conforming us into the image of Jesus. So the nature of faith always triumphs. And we know from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that it is sovereign, the nature of faith, because it tells us in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus, we know in His flesh, like us, walked by faith. He completely trusted in the sovereignty of His Father. And we are told, like Him, as He looked to His Father, so we look to the one who has overcome in all things, Jesus, who's the author, finisher of our faith. So we clearly see He started it, He will finish it, because it is a sovereign work of God. And He sat down now at the right hand of the Father, interceding, supplicating, in order for that to be done, to be achieved. So we know then that God is with us, helping us, aiding us, in order to triumph in our walk of faith. And of course, the author means He's the originator. He's the origin. It comes from him. Therefore, he perfects our faith. There's a degree of perfection with our faith God looks for in this life. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. What does it say in Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets? Habakkuk was a prophet called to Israel just before going into Babylon, captured by their enemy. And he's facing with Israel stubbornness of heart, a refusal to do God's will, to consider God's ways. And God is going to use their capture into Babylon as a chasing rod to reprove them, to work this unbelief, this rebellion out of them. And sometimes God has to do similar with us. But of course, he doesn't do it as a nation like he was with a people. He does it individually, often with us. Sometimes God chastens churches as well. But that is the nature of Habakkuk's calling. And it says in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." So because he was facing this stubbornness, this rejection, this refusal from Israel, he went to the sovereignty of God, because they're chosen of God out of all nations. He says, whatever is happening, whatever's going on, God is going to allow them to be chastened with his chastening rod for the purpose the just shall live by his faith. Israel will be justified. A remnant will be justified by faith because God has decreed it. Faith always triumphs, and that is why he's not forsaken and let go of Israel. A remnant will come back. A remnant will be dealt with, in which they again will receive their Messiah on the basis that faith always will triumph. It's what God decrees. Did you know that our walk of faith, believing these promises in God's word, brings us into the will of God? It brings us into the plan of God, the decrees of God. It's what God has decreed. God has decreed over your life, my life, over FGA, and he has decreed that we walk by faith in that. And that is why faith will triumph, because he has decreed it. Now, some of you may have never thought about this. It's never entered your head. But this is to help you with your walk of faith and the trials that you face, or what we go through, or whatever it is. It's so that God has decreed. And so if our steps are ordered by Almighty God, which they should be, then every day we triumph in the Lord. Because he has decreed it. Hallelujah. And I take great comfort from that, that God has got this so under control. It's absolutely mind-boggling, our walk of faith. And what does it say in Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1 and verses 16, 17. Romans chapter 1 and verses 16, 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith, or his faithfulness. So here, in many ways, what I have just been saying is those that are justified by faith, because that's how we're justified. We've read to you the saints of old. Abraham was justified by his works of faith, moving with God, what God had decreed for him. And it is exactly the same with you and I, moving with God, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, fulfilling what he has decreed, because he has gone before and prepared the way. And God even encompasses our failures where we miss it at times in faith. That's why nothing takes him by surprise. And when we miss it in faith, or we're not in faith as we should be in areas, he works on it, and he works on it until we come to that standard that God requires and wants. Why? Because he's decreed that it should be, and it will be. He's not interested what you think, what I think, or whether I may be able to overcome or believe in this area or not. That's got nothing to do with it. God has made no mistake in calling us from the foundation of the world. And having gone before and prepared the way, he has decreed that our faith will triumph for his glory. And there are times when it seems anything but he has decreed this, and he is working on this, and he doesn't give up night or day. And that's why the apostle says, I'm not ashamed of this word, this gospel of Christ. For the reason being, it is the power of God working salvation to everyone who believes, who has faith. Jew first, also the Greek. He's going to say the Jew first because that was the burden of his heart, because he was seeing what was happening to God's people. They're rejecting, and they're going to be put to one side. That's his burden. For it is the righteousness of God revealed, not your works, not how good you are, God's righteousness, which is imputed to us from faith to faith. So there we get the understanding that faith is progressive, it's growing, it's maturing, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And he says we grow from faith to faith. In other words, we're triumphing because faith moves forward. Faith always keeps you moving forward as a Christian. That is the nature of it, from faith to faith. Those who lay behind, those who live in the past, are not seeing that it's faith to faith. This is why God doesn't give up on us with regard to our believing, because he's going to keep us moving forward. He's going to keep FGA's faith active. We're all good talkers. We all know our scriptures, but he's going to get us to walk it, to live it. And that's why. And that's why the revelation of salvation can only be revealed by faith. It's the only way you're saved. That is how God has decreed. That is how he's decreed that it will triumph. That is what glorifies his name. And we just have to accept that God has ways of glorifying his name. We would never work it out. in a million years. And there are times it doesn't make any sense that God could glorify his name in a situation like this when it looks like a failure. But God does, because he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So we just have to accept, we have to rest on it and keep our mind out of it and let God, because he knows how to glorify his name. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God is faithful. He doesn't try to be faithful. He is faithful. And he says, those who are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're called into the Godhead, into the fellowship of the Godhead, who's one, who agrees, who love each other. There's no division. There's no separation. We're called into that unity and oneness and fellowship. Why? Because God says he's faithful. And so your faith is very dependent on your fellowship with the Godhead, which he calls you into through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we all know what fellowship means. It's that Greek word koinonia, a unity and oneness, no division. Even if I don't understand, or I'm having problems or finding it difficult, doesn't matter. I'm still in fellowship and unity and oneness with him. Unbroken fellowship. That is what God is wanting out of us. And we stand purely by faith on that basis. Don't try and work how God does this, because all of these works and acts in our life are miraculous. They're miracles how God does it. What does he say in Romans 11 and verse 20? Romans 11 and verse 20. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear, for God did not spare the natural branches. He may not spare you either. So we know Israel's failure is a warning to us. Her chastening, God chastening her with his rod, allowing her to be chastened by other nations, Syria, Babylon, is all a warning what can happen to us if we allow our hearts to become hardened. And it was unbelief that they were broken off. You stand by faith. That's what he means. Why? Because faith triumphs. Doesn't matter how you feel, what you're hearing, what it looks like, what the enemy is suggesting, my faith today triumphs in Christ Jesus. That is what we should be confessing and confessing before the powers of darkness. What does it say in 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. There we are. We've quoted that many, many, many times. And it is precisely by that principle. We have at times to face the fact that not all are in faith. And this is one of the tragedies that we have. And not an awful lot of faith, sadly, is taught today behind pulpits. And one of the reasons why faith isn't taught as it should be, because that is what the nature of Jezebel that seduces so many churches, its seduction causes you to compromise, to flirt with the world. And that is why so little faith is taught. That is one of the strongest demons that is attacking contemporary Christianity, particularly in the West. And God is raising up a standard against this in these last days. We're again going to see the anointing like on Elijah, who confronted the false prophets of Baal and judged Jezebel. We're going to see a type again that will speak out, that will have the power, that through the anointing, the fire will come down and burn the dross to bring a remnant back to believing these promises again, because they've been seduced from believing. Easier to trust man, you see. And God clearly shows us that's not what he's called us for, because our faith triumphs in him. And we're all a work in progress. We're all coming to that place of believing. And some of us maybe are going through various things that God is working, getting right to the root of getting us to believe and to stand on his word and not listen to the enemy and his doubts and his suggestions. Because you know as well as I do, when you take a stand of faith, he suddenly becomes very vocal. And he's starting to attack your mind in a very subtle, suggestive way. And we at times are not even aware we're beginning to listen to what he's saying, until God raises a standard against the enemy, and then you realize what he's been up to. And God does this because he's going to get us to stand by faith in these last days. Now, what does it say in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, and verses 2 to 3? 2 Thessalonians 3 and verses 2 to 3. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Now look at that as a promise. The very thing that we have just been talking about. Firstly, there are many who do not preach faith. They don't have the faith. And God says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Thank God he is. Here's the sovereignty of God. Here is where faith will triumph, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Who is going to guard you? Not you trying with your efforts. No, he is going to guard you. He is going to guard your mind, your thinking. And it comes by believing. You have been trying to battle against the enemy. And unless God places that guard there, you will fail every time. There is where faith triumphs. Now there is a promise there, brothers and sisters. We glean from these promises. There's no excuse anymore, because he is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. He's guarding you in these areas where he attacks your faith. And that guarding sometimes is where he tells you through the teaching of the word, like he's doing tonight, or he will speak to you, or he will show you from the word, or it's something that you get into prayer and press in for. There are ways that God manifests this guarding, keeping you from the evil one. But the promise is there. He says he will do it. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit who leads and guides you each day. Sometimes it's just to say to the powers of darkness, go from my mind in Jesus' name. My mind is covered by the blood of the Lamb. You have no place there. Sometimes you've got to just speak to the powers of darkness like that. And he will flee. Other times it may be praise and worship. Start to praise him. Start to sing about the blood of the Lamb. You're overcoming. That'll get rid of him. But you see, you've got the Spirit of Truth who will guide and lead you so that he is your guard, your protector. And it comes on the basis of believing. And this is why you see some have a form of faith, but in their trials, you see it's not genuine. And that is why God has allowed things to happen in our lives, because he's showing it's not genuine yet, but it will be. And he uses all the trials that we go through, all the disappointments, all where we have missed the standard. If we stay with it, keep coming, he uses that in which to teach you. And that's why our trials are to get us in faith, believing. There is nothing like a trial to get you in faith. Trust me. The very thing that we want to run away from is the very thing that God uses in our lives to get us to believe. Your trials produce that strong faith in God. But most Christians don't want to know that one. Israel didn't want to know it and rebelled and kicked against it every time. And that's why we are being saved through faith. Every message that we hear, every meeting that we come to is a sign we are being saved, we are being brought out from and taken into God's presence. And that's why we can confidently say we're simply sojourners passing through. Our real place is not here, it's with the Lord in the heavens. That is what our faith is doing. It's what it's producing. What does Ephesians 2 and verses 8 to 10 tell us? Ephesians 2 and verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. So there we are. We are to walk in them. Why? Because faith always triumphs. That's why. We've been saved by faith, and it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God on the basis that your faith that saves you will triumph. God cannot accept anything that is a failure or second best or has got faults or blemishes with it. Not at all. He's most holy. Everything is presented exactly right in his presence. You've only got to go into the Old Testament and to see when they offered up the sacrifice and all the sacraments that went on with the priesthood and everything had to be precisely done. And if it wasn't, they could be burnt by God's presence, offering up strange fire. That work he's doing through you and me. So we see what faith does in God's hands. And we triumph because he has promised. It's not about whether I believe. It's the fact that he has promised that our faith will triumph in him. Now, either we believe that or we don't. Don't try and work it out how he's going to do it. That isn't for you to know. You are to walk by faith. And what does it say in Hebrews 10 and verse 23? Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope or faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So our faith that triumphs, that endures and remains to the end is a faith that confesses and lines up our confession with God's word, the promises of God's word. Whether you are battling, whether you believe it or not, we line our confession up with it, and eventually confession brings possession. That is the nature of faith. You hold in there until God works it within you. And very often he's working, getting rid of that unbelief, that fear, that doubt, to get us to stand firm upon these promises. Because faith must always triumph. And that is why we line up our confession with God's word. You may not fully be believing it yet. The enemy may suggest, well, you're confessing that scripture, you're confessing that piece in the Bible, but you don't really believe it. Let him say it. Let him say those things. Because it's not about you. You're putting into action what God tells you to do. And God will work that from the head to the heart. Because he's faithful. There are times I've felt an absolute fraud. I'm not really believing as I should be. And here I am preaching, talking about faith. You know, it's a difficult one. But when you listen and you're still, you know that faith triumphs. You know that he has started that work. He will complete and finish it. And that I am secure on. That I know he will do. Don't even doubt it. Because I've walked too long with God to see that being accomplished. And you have as well. So you see, the enemy defeats himself, his lies, his deception. The nature of faith always triumphs. That is its nature. That is what God has put into your life, to your heart. It's sovereign. It's him. It's his faith. And there's no doubting in his faith. It's perfect. The faith that is of God spoke the world and man into being. He didn't try to believe to do that. He simply spoke it. And that's what faith does. Exactly the same with Romans 10. He who hath begun that work in you will complete and finish it. So there we are, brothers and sisters. An exhortation today. To encourage you, but to show another side of faith, the sovereignty of faith. And let this be an encouragement to you. whatever you're going through, whatever your day has been, your week has been, whatever the enemy is saying or suggesting, because I know he's very vocal with some of you, and there's a reason for that, because he fears, he trembles. We're rising up in God's sovereignty. We're rising up because that is what faith does. It triumphs. Praise God.